And as Jesus paused in his work and stopped to stretch himself, the sun cast a shadow of a cross against the wall. And then in another of Hunt's paintings, it depicts the toddler Jesus running with outstretched arms to his mother, with the shadow of the cross being cast by his form as he ran. Now, of course, those paintings by Holman Hunt are fanciful only. But from Scripture, you and I know, we know that the cross of Calvary was in view throughout our Lord's life all the way. Now, as we wait before the Lord's table and as we live daily, I am inclined to wonder this morning as to the extent that Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ and the Spirit of Christ, what place do they occupy and exercise in your and my life? How affected are we by such things? Christ and his cross, are they non-consequential? Are they distant, irrelevant, non-effective? Or are the cross and the things of Christ vital and basic? Are they vital and operative in us? For us, the cross, is it positive or is it negative? Actually, the cross must be very positive to each of us who know Jesus Christ, and the cross of Calvary should affect the very basic nature of you and my life. In each of us as Christians, the cross, my friend, should be foundational to our life. The cross should be operative and influential in every detail of our life. It should be the cross and the Lordship of Jesus Christ which control and direct your and my every purpose, plan, dream, aspiration, goal, and objective. The cross and the Lordship of Jesus Christ should be the frame of reference of your and my every thought, word, and deed. The cross and the Lordship of Jesus Christ should be the primary influence in our life and should motivate each of us at all times and in everything to exalt and to honor the Lord Jesus. As our text says, what counts is a new creation. With reference to Christ and a cross-centered life, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul says several things. Romans 6:6-7 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." When are we who profess to be Christians, are we really crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ? Does Christ really live in you and in me? And do we really take captive every thought to make it obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ? We who are Christians, do we really realize that we are spiritual beings and that spiritual life must be our primary concern? Spiritual life, our primary concern? I think it should be something that we confront daily, day by day and moment by moment. To be spiritual means that you and I are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:4 says, "As you come to him, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And Romans 8:6 actually says, "The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." Spiritual life, my friends, is a glory to God, and it's a blessing to each and every believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask us today, what is the measure of our spiritual life, of yours and of mine? How would you rate your own level of spirituality? Is our spirituality such that you and I sit, sit comfortably, we feel comfortable as we sit in God's presence here in this sanctuary and as we anticipate facing God in eternity? I really can't envision anybody being smug in the face of such questions. I think if we're honest with ourselves, and I do not think this is any place for pride, I think most of us are probably pretty weak spiritually, and we need to ask the question, what remedy do we need to seek, and what remedy do we need to find in God and His Spirit? Spiritual growth and depth come through new and greater surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. Spiritual growth and depth come through new and greater surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, regardless of where we are in our Christian walk, regardless to the extent to which we've been brought along in the likeness of Christ, between now and the time that we enter into glory, taken into glory, there's always room for greater and new surrender to the Lordship of Christ. Spirituality comes through genuine, heartfelt zeal and enthusiasm for God's Word. That means reading the Word of God. It means studying the Word. It means meditating on the Word. It means obeying the Word. But spirituality comes through genuine, heartfelt zeal and enthusiasm for the Word, for prayer, to put it very practically, for Sunday school, for worship, for Christian fellowship. God's Spirit grows Christians spiritually through earnest seeking after God and through delight in God's service. Now, you and I will be more spiritual when Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ and the Spirit of Christ are at the heart and center of our life. You and I will be more spiritual when Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ and the Spirit of Christ are our mindset, our frame of reference, our life perspective, and our mode of operation. An unknown author has said, the cross is I crossed out. You and I, my friends, will be more spiritual when the cross of Jesus Christ is more central to every detail of our life. Now, as is sometimes a sad case in war, a hospital with a huge red cross on its roof was bombed. Investigation revealed that shortly before the attack, snow had fallen and it had covered the cross. Well, now, while the cross could be seen, all in the hospital were safe, but when the cross was obscured, many people were injured and killed. I'd submit to us today that the same can be the case in our spiritual life. When the cross of Jesus Christ is evident and at work in our life, you and I are safe for time and eternity, but when the cross is obscured and inoperative, we are vulnerable to Satan's attack. For that reason, the cross must always be foundational and central to our faith and our life. As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, I wonder if we'll think about these things. Will we allow God's Spirit to work greater spiritual life and faithfulness in us? As that Spirit is so allowed, God will indeed be honored, and you and I, as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be blessed. It seems to me that the text we've read this morning is very relevant when it says, "May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Let's look to the Lord and pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we bow in humility. We bow in gratitude and thanks. We're thankful, Father, for the work of your Spirit in our lives, which has brought us to life and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for that and are thankful for your mercy toward us, that you do indeed include us among your elect and you call us unto yourself. But Father, as you bring us to Christ, spiritual babes, you expect us to be grown. And Father, that doesn't come about as a result of any effort on our part, so to speak. But it does come, Father, as your Holy Spirit works in us. and does indeed lead us to take advantage of the means of grace in order that, Father, your Spirit can grow and develop us and carry us along, Father, in the way of spiritual life, of faithfulness and obedience to you as our Lord and our God. We're thankful, Father, for your mercy which has brought us to Christ. We look to you and pray, O God, that by your Spirit that you'll continue to carry us forth in the things of Christ. And Father, be with us now as we make our approach to your table. Father, we are still sinners. We're thankful for forgiveness through the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Father, for the assurance that we can come confessing our sins. If we confess our sins, we're thankful, Father, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I pray now, God, that by your Spirit you'll lead us in reflection, that you'll bring sin to our mind, that you'll lead and enable us, Father, to confess that sin before you and to repent as well. Be with us now as we come to the table. Bless us in the midst of it and hear us in our prayer because we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen.